Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Megillah Daf Hey. We begin about 10-15 lines down by the brand new Mishnah. We're learning today Le'ili Nishma is the Bela Bas Shneir Zalman. I think this is Susan Shulman's mother. Bela Bas Shneir Zalman, all the Mishnahs we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So we begin the brand new Mishnah Hey Yom and Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, we had this already in the previous Dafim, so here's where we see it inside. Ezohi Ir Gedola. What is the definition of a large city? We said the large cities, they read the Megillah always on Yudalid. So Kosheshbo Asara Batlonim. Any city that has in it 10 men that are Batlonim. What does Batlonim mean? Batlonim means, Rashi tells us, Shavvesa Knesses Shehen Betelin Mimulachton V'nizonim Mishol Tzibur. So the city supports them, so there's always a minion in Shul, so at the time that they're davening, there'll always be a minion present. Rashi brings down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very upset. Kivin Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vesa Knesses Veinu Motzi Shom Asarah. If there's no minion there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu gets upset. So therefore they would hire people that either they would have various jobs, they would function as a kolel, or they would function as various jobs like judges or teachers in the town, other jobs the Shulter brings down, and they would always be available to make sure that the shul always had a minion. So if a city was large enough to support these 10 people, that there was constantly a minion in the shul, so then it's called an ir gedola. Otherwise, pachos v'kan, if it doesn't have those 10 batlonim, it's called a small village. Harei zeh kvar. Even though there's a lot of people there, it's still called a kvar. And the Mishnah tells us, Be'elu omru, makdimim v'lo me'achrin. For these small villages, what we call the kvar, so then on those appropriate days that we learned in the first Mishnah, at the very beginning of the Masechta, they can move it up to Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel. And v'lo me'achrin, as we learned, it says v'lo yavor, you're never allowed to go beyond Yud Dalet and Tesvav, so you can never do it afterwards, but you can move it up to Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel under the appropriate situations that we learned in the first Mishnah. However, that's as opposed to Avozman Atzei HaKohanim, and Rashi adds, and the Bach adds, V'ho'am, but those families that had the mitzvah to go and bring the wood, those were there when they came up from Bava, we learned just at the end of Tainus, they came up from Bava, they had no wood, so they donated the wood, and forever they were given the priority and the schus to go and bring the wood, the Korban Mincha, that was the wood offering, the Korban Eitzim on those days, so it were minor holidays for them, so for those holidays, Bizman Atzei Kohanim V'ha'am, when they would bring it, or on Tisha B'Av, when Tisha B'Av occurred, or when the Korban Chagiga is being brought, on a Yontif, or the Mitzvah of Hakel, which as Rashi points out, is the year after the Shemitah year, B'motzi Shemitah, so on Yontov. Now the year so we have in Rashi is Rish Achron, but it really should be Rishon, so on the first days of Sukkot, they had the Mitzvah of Hakel, and this was done on Yontif itself. So here, if it turned out that it was on Shabbos, or as we'll see, in these situations, they weren't allowed to go and do it on the actual day of the Nedava. So for example, if the day of the Nedava was on Shabbos, they couldn't do it on Shabbos, so you could move it up to Friday, or you could do it on Sunday. So they always would push it back. Instead of Makadmin, v'lo Ma'achrin, they did it the exact opposite way. Here, they would be Ma'achrin, v'lo Ma'akdimin. They would go and push it back. So if the Atzei Kohanim, the Ha'am day for the Korban Eitzim was on Shabbos, so they would push it back to Sunday. If Tisha B'Av was on Shabbos, they'd push it back to Sunday. And we'll explain why when we get to the Gemara. If the Chagiga was on, the first day of Yontif was on Shabbos, so they wouldn't bring it on Shabbos, according to opinion of Beis Shammai, they would do it afterwards. And likewise, if the Mitzvah of Hakel was on Shabbos, they wouldn't do it on Shabbos. Rashi brings down two reasons why not. Because either they would have to bring the Noshim V'Taf, and they'd have to carry the children, you're not allowed to carry them on Shabbos. Or he brings down from the Yerushalmi a second reason, they'd have to build the bima. They'd have to build a platform that they would say Hakel on, and they weren't allowed to build it on Shabbos. Why didn't they build it beforehand? Because Dechika Le Azorah, the Azorah was small, and if they took this space up for more than was absolutely necessary, it would be difficult. In the Talmudic Encyclopedia, they bring down a number of other reasons. For example, there's a whole question of this wood, it's allowed to be there. So when you have to have it there, you're allowed to, but otherwise there's a concern, it's like an Asherah tree, so therefore it wasn't allowed to be there other than for the exact time that it needed to be there. Alternatively, they bring down that if it was on Shabbos, they couldn't blow shofar, and there was shofar and chatzosos that were normally blown with hakel. Alternatively, they bring down, they would say various techinos, supplications, and you're not allowed to say these supplications on Shabbos. In any event, all of these are reasons why it was pushed back to Sunday and not on Shabbos. All of these things are pushed back, ma'achrin, lo makdimim, we wouldn't move them forward to Friday. Then it tells us, Afa pish amru makdimim, and the Gra takes out the words lo makdimim, because we're only interested in the makdimim. Even though we can sometimes read the Megillah early on, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, so even though we're makdimim to read the Megillah, mutarim behesped, on those days you're still allowed to make a eulogy, even though on Purim you're not, and you're allowed to have a tainus on those days, even though you're not allowed to have a tainus on Purim. And likewise, as we pointed out already in the previous year, matonos levyonim, since the aniyim, they hear the Megillah, and they expect to get the Matonos Levyonim, so you're allowed to give the Matonos Levyonim on your Dalif Yibes Yogim, you don't have to wait till your Dalif. As opposed to, we said, Sudas Purim, and the Simcha of Purim, as well as, according to most, the obligation to give Shalach Manos, Ish L'Reyehu, so that had to be on your Dalif, even though they read the Megillah on your Dalif Yibes or your Gimel. Now, Rabbi Yehuda tells us, some Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanah Rabbi Yehuda tells us, they must say, when are you allowed to move up the Megillah reading in the Kvarim to Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel to the Yom HaKnisa? That's only Mokum Shenichnasim B'Sheinu V'Chamishi, where they would come in on Mondays and Thursdays to the big city. So since they're coming in anyway, so we said we allow them to read the Megillah if it's early on Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel, if they're coming in on Mondays and Thursdays anyway. However, Abu Makum, Shaynik Nasin, Lob Shayn Lob Khabishi, when they're not coming in, so then it's not a heter that if you're a small city, a small village, you're allowed to read it on your Dalfi Bezu Gimel. It's only because you're going into the town on Monday and Thursday that heter was given. So if you're not going into the town, if Lo Nichnasin, Lob Shayn Lob Khabishi, so then Ain Karin Osa, Elab's Mana, then you're not allowed to go read the Megillah at these earlier times, but you wait till you're Dalit. Tomorrow begins in the ads. Tana, we learn the following brayso: Asara Batlonim, that which we refer to in our Mishnah as Asara Batlonim, is Shiva Beis HaKnesses. It's talking about people that were always waiting in the Beis HaKnesses, so there would always be a minyan there. And as I said, they were learning there, they were hired by the town to do various other jobs, and that included that they would be in the Beis HaKnesses, so there would be a minyan at the times of Tefillah. Then we mentioned the Mishnah, Be'ilu Amru Makdim and Blomi Achrin. It was for those days that you're allowed to go, the small villages, they're moving it up to the Yom HaKnisa so they can read it, Yidalapi Beis Yud Gimel. Why is that? My time up. Why couldn't they read it afterwards? Why do we say that you're not allowed to go and read it afterwards? Vlomi Achrin. So my time up. So I'm Rabbi Abba, I'm Shmuel, because the Pasuk said, I'm a crow. We had this earlier. We have it again here now. Vlomi Abba. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to read it later on. You only can read it earlier. We have the reasons why earlier in the Masechta. Furthermore, when a person makes a neder or some sort that he says, I'm going to do this for 1 year. So we go by the year. So Rashi says if it was made a neder on Aleph Nisan, so it goes till Aleph Nisan in the following year. We don't count 354 days. We don't count whether there's a leap year, there's an extra Adar or not. You go, he says for 1 year, it's from Echad ben Nisan until Echad ben Nisan. How do we know that that's true? How do we know that we don't count 354 days? When you say a year, you mean one calendar year. So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, the Chadashim, Atamon L'Shanim, V'yatamon Yom L'Shanim. The months, 12 months make the year. The year is defined by the months, and it's not defined by the days. The Rabbanim, the Kesari, Mishum Rabbi Abba Amru, and the Rabbanim that came from Caesarea, Kesari, they said name of Rabbi Abba, the similar idea, if a person says that this gate should take effect, Rashi says, this gate should take effect if you don't come back by a certain time, so then it goes by the month and not by the hours in that month. Shnema ad chodesh yomim, because the pasuk tells us a chodesh yomim, which means yomim atam b'chashim l'chadoshim, yatam b'chashim shos l'chadoshim. You don't go by the amount of hours, so you don't calculate 29 and a half days, the hours in that, which is the actual month. The month alternates from 29 and 30 days, but whatever that month had, if it was 29 days, it's chaser, if it's smaller, 30 days, so then that defines the month. Then the Mishnah is quoted, Avos man atse kohanim. And again, the word v'ha'om is added by the Bach and Rashi, v'tisha ba, v'chagiga, v'hakel. In all of these situations, we push it back if it comes out on Shabbos, ma'achrin, lo matim, but we don't move it up to Friday. Why is that? So, v'tisha ba, why is that? Akdu me paronus lo makdadmi. We don't want to make the tragic day come earlier. So, we want to push tisha ba back as far as we can. So, you don't make tisha ba on Friday, which would be the 8th day of Av. So, you make it therefore on Sunday, which would be the 10th day of Av. You push back. That's why all the Tanaisim we push back, with the exception of Tainus Esther, because Tainus Esther is not a Paranus, it's not a bad thing. It commemorates, as we learned previously, it commemorates the fasting that they did before they went out to battle on Molech. So that's not a bad thing. So if Purim comes out on Sunday, for example, or on Shabbos, in theory, so then Tainus Esther is beforehand. We don't move Tainus Esther back, because it's not a Paranus. Furthermore, we learn the Raisa Tano, Chagiga, V'chol Zman Chagiga Ma'achrin. The Chagiga, and quote, all the time of the Chagiga is pushed back. Now we're going to give three pshatim as to what this means, V'chol Zman Chagiga. The first one is as follows. Bishlama Chagiga, the actual bringing of the Karim Chagiga, we can understand, the Imikam Shabbat, if the first day of Yontif is on Shabbos, so we don't bring the Karim Chagiga, we'll see this is the opinion of Beis Shammai, that Macharin Allah, and you bring it the next day, Lebasa Shabbos, on Sunday, not on Shabbos, because you can't go bring, according to Beis Shammai, a Karim Chagiga on Shabbos, because they hold that it's not Docha Shabbos. Now, that's good to understand Chagiga. But what does it mean, V'chol Zman Chagiga Ma'achrin? What does that mean? Elo Zman Chagiga Ma'ahi. What is that referring to? So again, we have three answers to this. Amar Rav Hoshaya, Rav Hoshaya says, this is what the Brice is telling us. Chagiga b'Shabbos. If the Chagiga comes out, the first day of Yontif is on Shabbos, so then you can't bring the Chagiga. And likewise, even the Olas Riyah, afilu b'Yontif, the first day of Yontif, which is not Shabbos, you still can't bring the Olas Riyah, according to Beis Shammai, because this man Chagiga ma'achrit. Because if you're pushing back the Chagiga, so you also aren't allowed to go and bring the Olas Riyah. What this is really telling us, Rashi explains, is that we never bring, according to Beis Shammai, the Olas Riyah on the first day of Yontif, even if it's not Shabbos, and we don't bring the Korban Chagiga on the first day of Yontif if it's Shabbos. If the first day is Yontif, then you're allowed to, because of Ocho Nefesh, and since you're eating it, you're allowed to go and bring it. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai, as we'll see in the Gemara. And that fact, what the Gemara asks right now, Mani, whose opinion is this? Beis Shammai. This is the opinion of Beis Shammai, as the Mishnah will tell us. This is a Mishnah that we had in Beitza not that long ago. It's not, it said over there, Beis Shammai holds, Beis Shammai omrim, mevi'in shlomim b'yontif. You're allowed to bring a carbon shlomim b'yontif because you're allowed to eat from it, and therefore it's ochel nefesh, and you can bring a carbon shlomim on yontif. The chagiga is a type of carbon shlomim, so if the first day of yontif is not Shabbos, so then you could bring the carbon chagiga. However, vein sochen aleim. Even though there's a mitzvah to do smicha, to lean on the carbon, that you're not allowed to do. And Beis Shammai says you're allowed to bring it without smicha. Beis Hillel holds that you do smicha on it anyway, because that's part of the mitzvah. But Beis Shammai says, no, it's not necessary to bring the carbon with smicha, and since it's yontif, we don't do smicha, we don't lean on the animal. But olos, avolo olos, an ola, even if it's yontif, never mind Shabbos, an ola is not allowed to be brought even on yontif, because it's not ochel nefesh, it's kulo lashem, and ola is kalil tokdar, it's totally burnt except the hide, and therefore, you're not allowed to go bring it on yontif according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel may be in shlomim, the olos v'somchen aleim. Beis Hillel says not only can you bring a shlomim, which of course is good, but you can even bring olos, and on the shlomim you're allowed to go do smicha because that's the mitzvah, and therefore you're allowed to do it. So that's reason number one to explain the braisa that said, what does it mean? Chagiga v'chos man chagiga. Second explanation is as follows. Rava Amar, Rava says, when he says chagiga, what does that mean? It means tefei lo. It means that only during the time that you're allowed to bring the chagiga is the chagiga allowed to be brought. But after yontif, you can no longer bring the korban chagiga. That's it. There's no tashlumin for it. It's not. We learned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah is found in chagiga. We're coming up on the stuff of chagiga after we learn moed katan. We'll learn chagiga to finish off the seder of moed. And Rava tells us that we're going to learn the Chagiga in that Mishnah, Ditnan, Mishalo Chag B'Yom Tov Arishu Shechag. If for whatever the reason you weren't able to bring your Chagiga on the first day of Yontif, so then you have the rest of Yontif to go and bring it. You can make up for it the rest of Yontif. Chogeg, meaning you can bring your Chagiga, V'Holech, and going on, as called Harega Kulo. The entire rest of the Yontif is still allowed to be brought, and for Sukkot, that includes even Shmini Atzeres. V'Yom Tov Achron Shechag. For Sukkot, you can even bring in a Shmini Atzeres. You can still bring your Korban Chagiga for Sukkot, even on Shmini Atzeres. Even though Zman Nokat, the famous six things mnemonic did, Shmini Atzeres is a separate yontif b'nei atzmo, regal b'nei atzmo. Nevertheless, it still is connected to Sukkot, that you could still bring your korban chagiga for Sukkot on Shmini Atzeres. But avar regal, once the regal is over, below chagig, you didn't bring your korban chagiga, too late, ain't no chayav b'achriyu, so you can't go bring it. There is no tashlumin period beyond the yontif. That's teretz number two for what it means, kozman chagiga. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi tells us teretz number three, chagiga v'chosman chagiga ma'achrin. What does that mean? It means afilu atzeres, even shavuos, which is only one day. The chad yoma, it's only a one-day yontif. Nevertheless, there's a tashlumin period of time. Ma'achrin, you're still allowed to bring it during the 6 days of tashlumin. Those are the days everybody's familiar with until your base, inclusive where we don't say tachlum, according to those that hold that during the yemei tashlumin, you don't say tachlum. And therefore, we learned in the Mishnah as well, modim she'im chol atzeres lios b'shabbos. If shavuos comes out on Shabbos, so then you're not allowed to go and bring certain korbanos, and not even the chagiga, and certainly not the olas re'iyah, sheyom tavuach achar Shabbos. So then Sunday is the official first day that you can bring it, but you have the rest of the 6 days as well, the yemei tashlumim, to go and bring the carbon. So that's what it means, chagiga kolzman, chagiga ma'achrin. So we have three answers to what that means. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Notan Netiyah bePurim. Rabbi went and planted a sapling on Purim. He planted a tree on Purim. We'll see. That's a problem. We'll see what the problem is in a moment. We turn to hay on the days. In addition, he did two other things. Rochatz, a big corona. I'm sure everybody will be talking about, oh, we see the corona. COVID-19 is mentioned in the Gemara. Obviously, it has nothing to do with a pandemic. This has nothing to do with a virus. Rochatz, big corona. Shotzi pari, big corona. Rashi says, means b'yom ha'shok, b'fahesya. He did this in public, in the public bathhouses, b'shas hiluch kronos, when the wagons were going there. In other words, when all the trucks were coming into the marketplace with all the produce and all the various deliveries. So he went when it was very public, and he used the bathhouse. In other words, he bathed on Shivasa B'Tamas. So that's what it means, Rochatz B'Corona. It has nothing to do with corona. It has to do with wagons. And Tosfos points out, lav dafu a big corona, doesn't mean literally in a wagon, elaklomar b'fahasya, means in public. Now, that's what Rebbe did. That was the second thing he did. First thing, he planted on saplings on Purim. And the second thing that he did was he publicly bathed on Shavuos v'Tammuz to show everybody that there is no restriction technically on bathing on Shavuos v'Tammuz. And the third thing that he did, which is even stranger, ubikish lakru Tisha B'Av. He wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. And nobody agreed with him. The other Chacham said, you can't uproot Tisha B'Av. Now, obviously, this does not mean he was not going to fast on Tisha B'Av. As Tosfos points out, caution, how could this possibly be? How could you possibly think that the great Tana Rebbe, the high Tana Rebbe, how he wrote Selakot Tisha B'Av, Lagamre, that he would uproot Tisha B'Av and not fast on Tisha B'Av? We just learned at the end of Tainis, if anybody eats or drinks on Tisha B'Av, in a Rabbin Chomash or Yerushalayim, he won't live to see Yerushalayim be rebuilt. Merib Yemenu should be speedily rebuilt. So how could Rebbe possibly have thought that we should uproot Tisha B'Av? Furthermore, this Tisha B'Av decree was a much earlier decree. So how could Rebbe uproot it? So obviously Rebbe didn't mean to uproot Tisha B'Av. What does he mean? The Yishlom HaTosos says, the Lord Rotsu Li'okro, Ela Michumra Sheyesh Bo Yosef Yishar Taniyos. He wanted to uproot some of the additional stringencies that Tisha B'Av had. Alternatively, he wanted to establish Tisha B'Av on Yud B'Av like Rav Yochanan had wanted to do. Rav Yochanan had said, we learned back there in Tainus as well, Rav Yochanan said, if I had been there, I would have established Tisha B'Av, not on Tisha B'Av, but on Yud B'Av, because that's when most of the Beis HaMikdash was actually burning. It was lit on fire late in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av. So we had said, the Chacham said, Aschalto de Perunusa Iker, that the beginning of the destruction, that's the Iker part, was Rav Yochanan said, the majority of it was burnt on Yud, and I would have established on Yud. And Rebbe also said, I would have established on Yud. The majority opinion was not like that, but that's what Rebbe wanted to do, and that he would have a right to go and change around. So these are the three things that Rebbe did, but below, hold below. The Chacham did not agree with him in regards to Tisha B'Av. Now, on the front of Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said to Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was the one that stated this. Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Chanina, this statement that that's what Rabbi wanted to do. And Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda told him, no, Rabbi, you're wrong. Now, he's talking to Rabbi Elazar. He's calling him Rabbi. He's not talking about Rabbi Rehuda Nasi. But he's telling his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar, who said this in the name of Rabbi Chanina, that no, you are incorrect. Lo kacha yamaisa. That's not what Rabbi tried to do. Now, here we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi tried to do. Ella, what did he try to do? Ella Tisha B'Av shechol yos b'Shabbos haba. That year Tisha B'Av was on Shabbos. So now they were fasting on Yud B'Av, udechaninu li'achar Shabbos, and they pushed it off till Sunday, as the din is. And in that situation, Yomar Rebbe, only over there, you the Nasi say, hol v'nidcha yidcha, since it's not being observed on the regular day, so we can push it aside and not observe it in the regular way this year. In other words, as Tosfos has said, we don't need all the extra stringencies that are normally associated with don't eat, don't drink, but none of the other inuyim should be in fact in place when it's on Yud B'Av on Sunday. And the Chacham disagreed. Below the Chacham, the Chacham didn't admit that this was the right way. And Kari Alei, and therefore Rabbi Elazar, when he heard that Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda taught him this, he said, "Oh, Kari Alei, the pasuk from Koheles is about you. Tovim Ashnayim Minu Echad. Two heads are better than one. That you're telling me what the din is. So now together we can come up with the right psak halacha. You explained it clearly, and I agree with you." In the Ritva, he suggests that now there were two against one, and that's why he was molded, the majority opinion. But the Ritva himself says he doesn't like that opinion. It's probably the best to say that, since you now have taught me the right version, so I'm asking with you, so that's what it means, two are better than one. Okay. The Gemara continues and says, Rebbe, hechi nota nitya b'Purim. So now we go back to the first thing that Rebbe did. How could he go and plant on Purim? After all, according to what we're assuming right now, you're not allowed to go plant on Purim. You're not allowed to do malach on Purim. Vatani Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef learned in the following braisa, Simcha u'mishteh v'yomtev. The Megillah tells us that the day of Purim was set up for a day of Simcha u'mishteh v'yomtev. Now, what does that mean? Simcha teaches us melamed shasur behesped. Simcha means it's a happy day, you're not allowed to espay them. And when it says mishteh, it means melamed shasur betainus. You have to have a sudas Purim, and you're not allowed to fast on Purim. And what does it mean when it says v'yomtev? V'yomtev means melamed shasur b'asiyas melacha. You're not allowed to work. So how could Rebbe go and plant? It says b'feirish, it's a day of v'yomtev. So that's the kashon, Rebbe, hechi nota nitiyah b'purim. How could you go plant a sapling on Purim? Someone says, you're right. Elo, Rebbe bar abesar haba. Rebbe lived in a non-walled city, and he celebrated Purim on the 14th. And when did he plant? V'chi nota b'chameisa nota. And he planted on the 15th. That's how Rebbe was able to do it. Someone says, really? Is that so? Ini? How Rebbe Tveria Hava? Rebbe lived in the city of Tveria, and the city of Tveria, b'Tveria mukevis choma miyamos Yeshua ben Nun Abai. Tveria was a walled city in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, which we'll prove later on that that's so. And therefore, Rebbe couldn't be a person who celebrated Purim on the 14th, he lived in Tiberia, he would have celebrated Purim on the 15th. Who says, you're right, okay, fine. Ella, Rebbe Bar Chamesava, you're right. Rebbe observed Purim on Tesvav, in Shushan Purim, and V'chinata, and when he was talking about planting the sapling, Bar Beisahava, he planted it on the 14th. Gemara still questions this and says, really? Umi pshita le the Tiberia mukevas chomi mos yishuv benun? Is it really true that Tiberia absolutely was vadai, a walled city during the days of yishuv benun, and therefore Tiberia definitely only celebrated Purim on the 15th and not at all on the 14th? But Chizkia didn't agree with that. But Chizkia kari b'Tiberia b'abesa v'chamesa. Chizkia read the Megillah out of Suffolk on both the 14th and the 15th, because he wasn't sure. Misafkale, he had a Suffolk, Imu Kefes Chomi Mos Yishuv Benun, he, oh lo, he wasn't sure, did it or did it not have a wall during the days of Yishuv Benun. So therefore he said, maybe it didn't have a wall, and therefore we should read it on the 14th. So he read it on the 14th. But then he said, maybe it did have a wall, and we should read it on the 15th. So he read it on the 15th. So he read it on both. So how could Rebbe say that he's a Bar Chamei Sahaba, and therefore he could plant on the 14th, because he lived in Tiberia. Maybe the 14th, Tiberia wasn't really a walled city, and it would be Purim. Gemara says, no, Chizkia had a suffix, Rebbe didn't. L'chizkia misafkulei, well, Rebbe pshitalei. Chizkia wasn't sure, but Rebbe was sure. Gemara questions this again. V'chipshitalei, really, Rebbe was so sure that Tiberia was considered a walled city during the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and Vadai, they read only on the 15th and not on the 14th? Mishari. So nevertheless, even if that were true, Rebbe, even assuming that it definitely was a walled city, according to Rebbe, he still wouldn't be allowed to plant on the 14th. Why is that? Mishari, how would he allow somebody to plant? Because it says in Megillas Tainis, again, Megillas Tainis was written by Hananiah ben Chizkia, and it listed all of the days that were Yomim Tovim, which also Behesped or Betainis, or in doing Melacha, and it says, V'oksid, Megillas Tainis, Es Yom Arboasor, V'es Yom Chamishasor, Yomei Purya Inon. That both the 14th and the 15th are considered Purim. For what purpose? The low list made Bahon. That you're not allowed to make a hesped on either of them. Now, what does it mean you're not allowed to make a hesped on either of them? V'amar Rava, Rava said, Lo Nitzucha Elalesor, Es Shozeb, is that? That even the people that lived in a walled city are not allowed to make a hesped on the 14th. And even the people that lived in a non-walled city are not allowed to make a hesped on the 15th. So, so therefore, to teach that the rules apply to 14th to the 15th and the 15th to the 14th people. And therefore, if you hold, you're not allowed to make a hesped. If you hold, you're not allowed to make a tainus. And if you hold that you're not allowed to make melacha, it's an isra melacha, it's yontiv, so then how could the people living in the 15th, i.e. Rebbe, who holds it's a walled city, how could they do melacha on the 14th? So even if you want to say that Rebbe was vaday certain that Tiberia was a walled city, how could he still do melacha planting an atiyah on the 14th? That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, no, because hani mila behesped tainus. When Megillas tainus tells us, you're not allowed to make a hesped on both of them, you're not allowed to make a tainus on both of them, that's only for hesped and tainus. Aba melacha, yom echad visulo. But melacha, the restriction on doing melacha, that was only one or the other. If you lived in a non-walled city, you're only allowed to restrain from doing melacha, only required to restrain from melacha on the 14th, but on the 15th you do melacha, and vice versa. If you lived in the 15th, a city that was definitely walled, the days of Yeshua ben Nun, so you celebrate Purim on the 15th, so you were not allowed to do melacha only on the 15th, but you could do melacha on the 14th. Again, the Gemara questions this. Is that really so? Ini? Behold, Rav himself saw somebody, Chazi Lahau Gabra, he saw a certain person, the Hava Koshode Kisna Bapurya, he was actually planting flax. Shode Kisna was planting flax on Purim, and Velache, he cursed him. Others say he put him in Cherim. And the bottom line is that the curse took effect and the flax didn't grow, so his flax didn't sprout. So you see that you're not allowed to do this. So the Issur Melacha was applicable to both. Shmuel says, no, Hasan Bar Yomahava. No, the person didn't live in a walled city and was planting on the 14th. He lived in a non-walled city and he planted on the 14th, and that's why Rav cursed him. Okay, that's teretz number one as to how Rebbe could go and plant on the 14th when he lived in a walled city on the 15th, not a problem. However, different teretz, Rabbah, Berei the Rabbah Mar, he says the reason why Rebbe was allowed to plant was Afilu Tema B'Yomei, even if you're telling me that Rebbe planted on the 15th and he lived in the walled city of Tiberia, so it was Purim. Yet he was allowed to plant. Why is that? Because only Hesped V'Tanis Kiblu Alayu, Melochalu Kiblu Alayu, because when it said Simcha Mishteh the Yom Tov, that was originally, but subsequently it was only Simcha and Mishteh. So the Isser of Melocha was never fully accepted by the people, and the rabbis were not gozer in Issa Melocha. So that's why Rebbe was able to plant even on Purim, on the 15th, in the walled city of Tiberia, which he felt was Vadai, a walled city in days of Yeshua ben Nun. Hesped v'tainis, Kabilu Alayu, they accepted upon themselves not to make a Hesped v'tainis on Purim. However, Melocha, the forbidding doing Melocha, Lo Kiblu Alayu, they did not accept in Issum Melacha. And you see this in the Pesukim. It first starts off the Meikar Ksiv Simcha Mishta V'Yom Tov. Well, B'Sov Ksiv Lasos Oso Yom Yemei Mishta V'Simcha V'Lo Yom Tov Lo Ksiv. The first time around, it tells us that they decided to make a Simcha Mishta V'Yom Tov, but they saw the people didn't accept that, so therefore they only made it Yemei Mishta V'Simcha Yom Tov Lo Ksiv. It doesn't say the second time Yom Tov. That Gemara says, no, why did Rav curse the person? If there was no Issa Malacha, why did Rav curse the person? We had the Maisa, the Rav cursed the guy that was planting flax on Purim. Well, Rav, my time, Lache Lahau Gabra, why did he curse that person's flax and it ended up not growing? So Gemara says, because they had accepted upon themselves in that shtat, in that place, they accepted upon themselves not to do Malacha. Even though it's technically something that was mutter, but everybody there had accepted upon themselves it's a custom not to go and do it, so that's what it was, Haba, and therefore, Rav cursed him. No. Ubasre the Rebbe. However, in Rebbe's shtot, where Rebbe lived, they never accepted upon themselves not to plant, and therefore lo nog, and therefore there was no problem in Rebbe planting, even though there was a problem for this guy who lived in this area where Rav lived, and Rav cursed him. That's teretz number two. The third teretz is how Rebbe was allowed to go and plant on Purim, v'boyisema, liolom nog, v'rebbe netiyah shel simcha notan. No, there really was an issur of doing malacha, but what type of malacha was forbidden? What type of planting were you not allowed to do? Regular planting, but planting for a simcha, you're allowed to do. We distinguish between regular planting and planting for a simcha. Where do we see this from? From Masechta Tainis. We just learned this. We had the whole series of fasts. We had the first three fasts that only Yechidim fasted. Then we had the first three fasts that the Tzibah fasted. Then we had the next three fasts that the Tzibah fasted a little bit stricter. Then we had next seven fasts that were even stricter. The total of the three that the individuals fasted, and then the 13 that the entire Tzibah fasted. And it said, after that, Kedidnan, like we learned over there in the Mishnah in Tainis, it said, Avru Elu, after all of these 16 fasts passed, the three that only Yechidim fasted, and the 13 that all the Tzibah fasted, Lo Nanu, and it still hadn't rained, they weren't answered, Mimatin, Bimasu Vimatun, they limited their business dealings. And what type of business dealings did they limit? The binyan ubinatiya. They didn't build and they didn't plant. And the erusin nisuin. They didn't get erusin the first stage of marriage. They didn't do the second stage of marriage nisuin. They didn't have them both together like we do. They had them a year apart, up to a year apart. Matani Allah. And when we explained that Mishnah, we learned in the Braisa, what type of binyan didn't they do? Binyan was binyan shel simcha. They were only talking about a binyan shel simcha. They needed that. The wall collapsed and they needed to build a wall. They allowed them to do that. If the ceiling was leaking, they allowed them to fix the ceiling. But if they were going to go build a binyan of simcha, which we'll explain in a moment, that they didn't allow. Netiya, when they talked about you're not allowed to go and plant, they were also talking about netiya shel simcha. You're not allowed to go and plant for something for simcha. What are examples of binyan shel simcha and netiya shel simcha? So the Braisa explained. Ezeh binyan shel simcha. What's an example of a binyan shel simcha? Zeh habone beis chasnus livno. They used to build a wedding hall and a wedding chamber for the son to live in, so they would build that. That's a simcha building, and that they weren't allowed to do when Nebuchadnezzar was a tragic time. There was a famine, there was no rain, so that they didn't do. And what was an example of a netiya shel simcha? Ezoi netiya shel simcha. So that's called ze'anotea aburniki shel melachim. This is aburniki shel melachim. Back there in the Gemara in Tanis, we had two explanations of this. Some said that this was trees that they planted in order to make the chuppah out of these trees. Alternatively, this was like some sort of a promenade where they would go and spatzir and sit in the shade, so they wouldn't build these types of buildings. These were called netiya shel simcha. They didn't serve a functional purpose. They were really for pleasure, and therefore they didn't build them during this period of time. Now the Gemara goes back and says, we said that according to Chizkiyah, Chizkiyah wasn't sure what the status of Tveria was. Was it a walled city in the days of Yeshua ben Nun or not? Rebbe, we said, was certain that it was, but Chizkiyah was not. Gufa. So we go back and quote that Gemara. Chizkiyah, as a result of not knowing, is it a walled city or not, during the days of Yeshua ben Nun, he read it both on the 14th and on the 15th. Kari b'Tveria, he would read the Megillah in Tveria on both days, Bar Beisa, on the 14th day of Adar, and also B'Chabesa, on the 15th day of Adar, to be Yotze, because he wasn't sure. Esafkali, he had a suffix. Imu kebis choma b'mos Yeshua ben Nun, he did it have a wall during the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and was supposed to read on the 15th? Elo. Or it didn't have a wall and was supposed to read on the 14th. So to be Yotze, he read it on both. Mustami didn't make a bracha on both. And he was Yotze because there's no problem in reading the Megillah if you're not Mechuyev too. And therefore he read it to be Yotze. So more questions. Well, me misafkale, milsu Tveria. Really? Was Chizkiyah unsure about what the status of Tveria was? It says Beferish, Foksiv, it says in Yoshua, V'are mitzar hatzidim, it says that there were certain fortified cities, which are walled cities. There was Hatzidim, there was Tzar, there was Hamas, there was Rakas, and there was Kineris. These five cities that I just said in the Pasuk in Yoshua, Tzidim, Tzer, Hamas, Rakas, and Kineris, are all walled cities. The Kaimalot, and we know, we have a Kabbalah, that when we talked about Rakas, Zu Tveria. It's a walled city, known as Rakas, known as Tveria. Zalka Chizkiah have a suffix. Gemara says, Haina Tainle Mesafkele. This is why Chizkiah wasn't sure. Because Mishum Dechad Gisa Shura the Yam Havas. It wasn't a walled city on all four sides. The three sides that weren't by the Yam Kinares, they were walled. But the fourth side was open to the Yam Kinares. And therefore, it wasn't walled on that side. So Chizkiah was uncertain. Do we call this a walled city? Or do we not call it a walled city? Gemara says, wait a second. Ihachi, then am I Mesafkele? Then what's the suffix in that situation? It's definitely not a walled city. Vadai Lav Chomahi. A walled city has to be all four sides are walled off. Here, only three sides are walled off. Where do we know that all four sides have to be walled off? Because we're in the Braisa, the Tanya. The Pasuk tells us, Asher lo choma. It has to have a wall. And that implies a real wall, the lo shur igar. And it can't be just a row of houses. The igar is like the rooftop. So it can't be just a whole bunch of houses that are next to each other that essentially form a wall. And it has to be Asher lo choma sovid. It has to be all the way around. And it says Beferish in this Raisa, excluding Tveria. Pratla Tveria, a walled city can't be like Tveria. Tveria is not a walled city, it's only enclosed on three sides. Sheyama Chomasa, because the fourth side, the Kinneret, the Yam, is the fourth side. So it says Beferish that, according to this, the Kinneret is the fourth wall, and that's not a wall. And therefore, that's the fourth side. And therefore, what was the suffix in Chizki's mind? It's not a walled city. So I said, no. What was Chizkiah's suffix? Linyan Bate Arichoma. This din that we just said, Asher Lo Choma Sovid, is a din by Bate Arichoma. Do you consider it a house that is allowed to be purchased back by the original owner in the first year, and after that, only he doesn't have automatic rights to purchase it back? So that's in regards to the din of Bate Arichoma. Linyan Bate Arichoma Lo Mesafkele. That, he had no doubt. That's the Pasuk Beferish. This Brisa Beferish tells us that Tveria was not considered a walled city in regards to the din of Bate Arichoma. However, Kikov Asavkele, where Chizkiah had a machokis, Le'inyan Mikra Megillah. Who says that the dinim of Bate Ari Choma are the same as the din of a walled city in regards to Megillah? My prozim, umay mukafim. Where Chizkiah's machokis is how do we define prozim, which are unwalled cities, and how do we define mukafim, which are the walled cities? Because in the Megillah, it tells us, Dechsive Gabe Mikra Megillah, it says in regards to Mikra Megillah, Mishum Dahane Miglu, Vahane Lo Miglu. Do we define it as being a walled city as being totally unopened? So if one side is open, like the Yam is open on that side, it's not considered closed. It's considered open. Vahanami Miglaya. And therefore, Tveria would be considered open and not a walled city. Or do we say, oh no, Dilma, protected. Mishum Dani Mignu, Vahani Lo Mignu. Do we say it's a walled city because it's fortified? It is protected. Nobody can attack it on the three sides because of the wall, and on the fourth side, they can't attack it because of the water. And therefore, do we say Vahanami Mignaya, that the city of Tveria was in fact protected because the three walls plus the water were a very effective protection for the city? And as a result, Chizkiah wasn't sure, do we consider it open or do we consider it closed and protected? And therefore, while in regards to Bate Ari Choma, he had no doubt that it's not considered a Bate Ari Choma, in regards to whether you consider it a Ari Prozim or an Ari Mukafim, that he had a machlokis on. And therefore, Chizkiah held that you have to read it both on the 14th and the 15th. Halach Lamaisa, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that Tveria is a suffix. We don't know. Is it walled or not? And the people in Tveria often do read it on both the 14th and the 15th if they want to be machmir. Now the Gemara continues and says, Rav Asi, Kari Megillah, Behutzal, Be'arbeisa, Be'chameisar. The same exact machlokis that Chizkiah had in Tveria, Rav Asi had the same machlokis in Hutzal. Was it considered a walled city in the days of Yeshua ben Nun or not? So Rav Asi had the same machlokas. So therefore, Mesafkele, Imukevus Choma, Imyos Yeshua ben Nun, he alone. And therefore, he read it on both days. Alternatively, others said that Rav Asi held as follows. Ika the Amre, others said Ika the Amre, Rav Asi, the Rav Asi held, Hai Hutzal, the base Binyamin. This Hutzal that was in the Shevet of Binyamin, so in Eretz Yisrael, Mukevus Choma, Imyos Yeshua ben Nun, he. That definitely had a wall in the days of Yoshua. And therefore, he only read the Megillah on the 15th in Hutzal that was in Beis Binyamin, the Hutzal in Eretz Yisrael. Now, how do we know, we mentioned before, these five cities, we said V'ari Mitzor, we had Hatzidim, Tzer, V'chamas, Rakas, and V'kineris, and we said that Rakas was Tveria. So now the Gemara says, how do we know that? So I'm a Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan said, Ki Avi Natalia, when I was a little boy, so Rashi says, Ki Osho Yisinar, when I was a little boy, Amina milso disha ilno l'savaya. I said something which I discussed with the Savaya, the older Rabbanim, and they were very happy with what I said. We turned to Vavam and Aleph. And they said, I was right. Now, what did he say? He said, Hamas, the city of Hamas, Zu Tveria. That is Tveria. Why was it called Hamas? Why was it called that? The Lomanikwa Shmo Hamas, Al Shum Chame Tveria, because it had the hot springs of Tveria in Tveria. So therefore, it was called Hamas because it was hot. And the city of Arrakis, Zu Tzipori. The city of Arrakis was Tzipori. Not as we said before, the Arrakis was Tveria. Hamas was Tveria. And Arrakis was the city of Tzipori. Why was it called Arrakis? Lomanikwa Shmo Arrakis. Mishum the Midalia Kiraksa de Nahara, because it was raised up, as Rashi says, Safasa Nahar Govoa Minahar, the banks of the river are higher than the river, that's why they're the banks of the river, the water doesn't go up to there. And he says, Tzipori Yoshevis Barosh Ahar. Tzipori was a city that was sitting at the head of the mountain, and therefore it was higher than the lower lying river. And therefore it was called Rakas. Tzipori was known as Rakas. So the names, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was not Rakas was Tveria, but Rakas was Tzipori, and Hamas was Tveria. And by the way, he adds, Kinneres, what city was Kinneres? Zu Ginosar. That was the city known as Ginosar. Velomenik Roshimo Kinneres. Why was the city of Ginosar given the name of Kinneres? Because the Mesike Peira Kikola de Kinre. Because the fruit in Ginesar was so sweet. We have stories in the Gemara where Rabbi Yochanan would eat 400 baskets of fruits from that area. They were so sweet, and it didn't even feel like he had anything to eat. They were so sweet and delicious. So the peros that came from Ginosar were as sweet as the sound of a kinar, of a harp. A harp makes a very beautiful, sweet sound. So that's why they called Ginosar the city of Kinneres. So this is the statement that Rabbi Yochanan said he made when he was a younger child that the older Chachamim liked. Now, the Gemara continues to discuss this, but we're going to stop over here. This is a good break point, and Yitz Hashem will pick up the rest of this discussion as to what the real names of these cities were in tomorrow's share. With this, we conclude today's share.